Well, the nation of Israel was in idolatry. And some of the most wicked people got in authority. And Ahab was the wickedest king ever reigned. He had the wickedest wife that ever could have been, Jezebel. And if you read about the verses in chapter 16, it talks about that his son reigned. It says, Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And verse 32 says he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And he goes on to talk about the wickedness and the idolatry. And Baal was a pagan god that they looked to for fertility. They thought he had power to produce life. They thought that he could do about anything. They looked to him for that. And Israel was so bad in idolatry. They had left the living God. They had left the God of heaven and forsaken him, forsaken his laws, forsaken him in this way that God set up. Thank God, going through back to the kings. And Solomon really did mess it up, even though he was, thank God, a good king. He still messed it up when he got with all them women, and they turned his heart to idolatry, and then the kingdom split, and then these kings start coming on the scene, and the majority of them was wicked, and there's a few of them like Hezekiah and Jehu, and some of them done some good things, but here we find that Ahab's in the command, and the Bible said here in verse number 1 of 17, here comes a man by the name of Elijah. He just shows up unexpectedly. They don't really know who he is. Amen. And far as what we know, we only know what the Bible says. It says really nothing about his past. It only speaks about when this show in verse 1 when it said here that Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, God sent him. He is God sent prophet. In fact, no other prophet was spoken of in the New Testament. Thank God, outside of Moses was, and Elijah, which were the two that appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now God is going to bring judgment. There's going to be a drought. And God uses a man of God by the name of Elijah, thank God, to look at Ahab and tell him that. And he said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew and nor rain these years, but according to my word. And so Elijah here says there's not going to be no rain. There's not going to be no dew. There's not going to be any of that. There's going to be a terrible drought according to what I say. Amen. And God's man, thank God, has to be bold here. Now I know this is a national message. And we thank God for men that will stand for God. Some people's got more of an audience than what I'd have. But I'm glad for men that don't turn and don't bow to somebody just because of what position they're in, or no matter who it is. I've seen in this day and time where preachers have left the path, have left, my friend, the way of God for popularity. And that's because of religious politics. Now they just mix in. They're mixers. Instead of, listen, really, men of God, people that stand alone with God. In fact, not getting ahead of myself, but Elijah, he saw Jezebel kill the prophets. That's why he said, God, I'm the only one left. He really thought he was the only one because he had seen so many of them killed. And that's when God said, well, I got 7,000 that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal nor kissed him. Well, that sounds like a lot, but in the days when there's a million people or more, amen, and I don't know the population in that day, that's not a whole lot. And in fact, you know, I mean, if you really looked at the men of God in America, compared to the population,
there'd not be a lot of people that would preach and be not afraid of the faces of the people that they're preaching to. Thank God that they've got a message from the Lord. Now, we live in a day that Paul said, thank God that preached the word. He answered in season, out of season. I reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, who have turned their ears from the truth unto the fables. They'd rather have a fictitious tale or like a bedtime story instead of a man calling out what it is. But I declare unto you, thank God, we'll not get no help unless we hear from the Word of God. Thank God, I said, but that's just the truth. People are stirred more emotional in this day, thank God, over sentiment than they are the Scriptures. And we need to preach it. And Elijah wasn't afraid of who Ahab was. Thank God, even though he was the king, he looked at him and said, thank God, he said, there will not be no dew or rain according to my word. Amen. And so he had the authority of God on him. He had been with God. Now notice this here. The Bible said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. What was he hiding for? He was hiding, praise God, to separate himself. Thank God, Ahab tried to kill him. He wanted to find him. He like that found him and tried to kill him. He hated him. Amen. Remember old Micaiah? Thank God, they remember old Jehoshaphat and had to join the affinity with Ahab. And thank God they said, they brought all these false prophets in. And Jehoshaphat asked Ahab, he said, is there not a man of God around here? Thank God to tell us the truth. And he said, yeah, there's one. His name is Micaiah. But I hate him. Amen. That's what he said. And he came in there and he said, I'm going to tell you the truth. And he told them the truth, and they smote him, threw him in prison, and fed him with bread and water. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, popularity in the pulpit, thank God, ought to be more pleasing. Thank God, we got to be popular, we ought to be popular with heaven. Amen. And doing God's will. It ain't about pleasing men. It's about pleasing God. And whatever God wants, we need to do it. Amen. Thank God, that's right. Now, I want to say this. He put him down by the brook Cherith. That word Cherith takes the meaning as a cutting or a separation. He separated himself from Ahab. He separated himself from the world. And God said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. That's a great miracle there. Thank God for a blackbird to bring meat to a man. Amen. And feed him morning and evening. And he said, there's a brook down there that hadn't dried up. Thank God. And that's where you're going to drink from. I want to preach tonight on what to do when the brook dries up. There are some things a man's got to do. Well, I won't say this. There'll be some times in your Christian life that you feel like you ain't got no brook. Amen. That's giving you some water. Now, I want to say tonight, thank God this man of God went by the brook. He said, I'll feed you there. Hey, listen to me. You'll have to be there to get what God's got. If you're not there, you'll not get it. It don't matter, friend. There's a there for everybody's life. That God says, I'll feed you, I'll give you something to drink. And there's a there for every man's life. And if you're not there, you're not going to get it. Amen. And listen to this here. He got there and he got it. I believe this. I believe the ravens would have dropped it off anyhow if he hadn't went there. Amen. Why? Because he had already commanded the ravens to feed him there. And it was at the brook Cherith. Now, the brook means a separation. Amen. It's hard for people to get separated because they're too tied in with the world. If somebody asked me tonight, and I have been asked, preacher, what's wrong with the church? I'd say too many entanglements. It's not really open sin that people's living in. in. It's just too many entanglements. It's too much entanglement. Thank God. And that's why Paul said you can't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life and please Him who had chosen you to be a good soldier. And entanglements hold you back from God. Amen. Entanglements cause you to be in that instead of the God of heaven's will. And therefore, you'll never be a soldier like this man of God was and separate himself by the brook from Ahab. Thank God, unless you're willing to sacrifice and separate yourself from some things in this world. I know tonight we're under grace. I'm glad for grace. I'm glad God forgives me. I'm glad grace is greater than all my sin. I live under the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I've been taught by the grace of God. I live in the grace of God. But the grace of God teaches a man not to live, thank God, worldly. He teaches to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Amen. That's right. Amen. The Baptist church. Amen. We're not dressing. We're not doing things that somebody can say, look at them. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. If you take any separation on just to put yourself above somebody else, that's a Pharisee. That's what they did. Thank God, friend. Why do I do what I do? Because that's what I am. Amen. Elijah, thank God, done what he done. Because he knew that's what God wanted. And you'll have to come that way and do what God says and separate yourself from the world. Amen. That's right. You can't live in the world. I'm talking about the systems and the ways of the world and live for God too. You got to decide. Amen. I've noticed that it's getting near summertime now. People won't take their clothes off. I think you ought to keep them on. Amen. I thank y'all to keep your clothes on. I think when people come to church, hey, God, we don't want to have to look away because somebody's dressed immodest and because they want to show their flesh. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Amen. I think people won't do that in church. What in the world they won't do when they ain't in church? Amen. But I'm telling you this. Thank God when you separate yourself, thank God, from the world and you separate yourself under the will of God. Amen. And get away from everything else and live out the providence of God. You live out the provisions of God. And God meets your every need. You know, I read the autobiography of George Mueller. George Mueller was a praying man. He got saved at a prayer meeting. It said he went to a prayer meeting one night. He was a heathen. He was a drunk and everything else. And Mueller's testimony was that when they got down to pray, that he kneeled down. He had made professions of Christianity before, but never had no inward change. And he said he knelt down, and this is the testimony he had. He said, when I kneeled down and people got to praying around me, he said, my heart was warmed. He said, I felt different inside. You know what that is? That's the power of God. When you get around the power of God, it makes a difference. Hey, God, you don't have to beg somebody to get born again. If the power of God's on a man, he's going to act upon it. And the power of God comes to him. He don't go to the power of God. And the power of God comes to him. Amen. That's right. Amen. This man here was a man of God. He separated himself by the brook. Amen. He separated himself from Ahab. Ahab was trying to kill him. Amen. Thank God. Remember when God said, amen, the ravens fed him there? Amen. He's by the brook drinking that water in the brook. Amen. The Bible said it came to pass after that while that the brook dried up. Amen. Hey, so there's some times, thank God, that there's going to be some dry times in life. You say, preacher, what do you do when the brook dries up? I tell you what you need to do. Thank God, you need to hear from Him. You need to get direction from Him. You need to hear what He's got to say. Thank God. Because if you don't, you'll end up living by the brook and not getting a drink. Amen. You got to remember, it ain't going to rain for 3.5 years.
No dew, no rain. Everything's dying. And here's a prophet by the river or the brook Cherithim. He's drinking. And all of a sudden it's dried up on him. That's right. You know what it's a picture of? It's a picture of the modern day church. That's right. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. If you're not willing to listen to God and go on, you'll die around the brook. You can drive, here's the way it is. Well, my grandpa always drunk from this brook. That's good. It's dried up now. Amen. Well, I remember 30 years ago when we had some water in that brook. Yeah, but it's dried up now. And what's happened is we're not building. You know, people live so much in the past that they can't live in the present. Amen. Listen, the Word of God's present to you, friend. Amen. You don't look at the Bible. Thank God. I understand, no, there's historical and spiritual truths in the Bible. But thank God, when I read the Bible, it's telling me this is what He wants it now out of us. Amen. Thank God. If you don't apply the Bible, then it won't do no good to you. And God said, and Elijah, He said, go to Zarephath. Amen. Now wait a minute, Elijah had to think about that because Zarephath's in heathen land. He said, I've commanded a widow woman to feed thee there. He said, I've already put her, and she's going to feed you. So Zarephath means refinement. Separation in Cherith, refinement at Zarephath. In other words, I'm getting you ready to go out and show yourself to Him. I'm getting you ready, thank God. There's a process in this thing. As a process, you just didn't grow all at once. God just didn't do all them things at once. But it does look like to me, if you look at the Old Testament and look at the doctrine of circumcision, that it was a mark of separation between the Israel and the rest of this crowd. Amen. But in the New Testament, God separates you in your heart. Thank God, from a lost world unto His Son Jesus. And now, thank God, we're in Him. And we got to go with Him. And brother, we got to listen to Him. Amen. That's right. You don't have to have a prophet now to tell you. He is your voice. Amen. Hebrews said that. Hebrews says, somebody said, I'm waiting on the preacher to tell me what to do. Well, God help. What's he going to do at midnight if the preacher ain't around? I mean, are you not on, you're your own person with God? I am a voice from God because I'm a man of God. Amen. I'm preaching the Bible to you. But if you get down in a drought in your life, you're going to have to hear His voice yourself. I ain't a dictator, praise God. I can't dictate to you what the will of God is for you. I can tell you what the Bible says, but there's specifics in the will of God. Amen. He might tell you, thank God, how to do something I wouldn't tell you to do. And I might tell you to do something He wouldn't tell you to do. You got to be sensitive to the voice of God Almighty. Amen. Amen. I didn't tell Brother Shank what to read tonight. I told him to read. Amen. That's God telling him in his heart. That's what I'm talking about. Thank God, Elijah had the ear of God. And when God said, go to Zarephath, He didn't say why. Now you hear me. If you have to ask God why, then you missing it. You think that, and I think that sometimes. Why? He didn't say, Lord. You know, it's amazing to me, and I'm just saying this. I'm a preacher. I mean, I have my weaknesses when it comes to faith. And he didn't have a family with him, far as I know. He said, you go down to the brook. I'm going to have the birds to feed you. He didn't say, really, God? I mean, couldn't I have a Holiday Inn and continental breakfast and the preacher come pick me up and take me out to eat? You know what's happening this day? We got a bunch of wimpy preachers. They've got it made. I'm not just talking about financially. I'm talking about that we don't suffer for the cause of Christ no more. You go back to the Fox's Book of Mormon. I know we don't live in that day, but the fact of it is, he said that they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. That's right. It's Saul, friend. We're Saul Christians. They was burned at the stake. They strangled 10 down and thank God burned him.
They dug up whippets bones and burned them. They burned them and buried them. Threw them in the river.
Yeah.
Right. They had enemies. But the cross now, thank God, this modern day Christianity that we live in, thank God, we got to have everything just right. Hey, Sean, as you go down to Zarephath, there's a widow woman down there. I've commanded her to take care of you down there. She's going to feed you. So he gets down there and she's gathering sticks. Amen. And he walks in. He says, how about get me some water to drink? Now, you got to remember now, water is a commodity when there's no water.
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, then he's asking her to go get him some water to drink. And while she goes, he said, oh, yeah, how about making me a cake first? I mean, how about bringing me a loaf of bread? How about bringing me some bread? And she said, sir, I don't have but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And she said, I'm going to make me and my son something to eat, and then we're going to die because we don't have nothing else. And that's when he said, will you make me a cake first?
Yeah.
Amen. That's amazing, isn't it? Make me a cake first. It wasn't because he thought he was first. Because God had told him, she's going to take care of you. That's right. Amen. And that woman, thank God, I no doubt, she said, I mean, it had to amaze her fact that this man of God, and I'm going to tell you what, now you hear me gladly. She knew this man was different, but she didn't really fully know this is a true man of God.
Not yet.
He said, I'll tell you what, you make me a cake first. And he said, the meal in the barrel, it'll be there. And he said, that cruise oil, it's going to be there until it rains.
Yeah.
He said, you do what I say and God do the rest.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. You do what God says, God do the rest. If you don't do what God says, you'll miss the blessing. You say, preacher, I want to see it. Well, forget it. You'll never get it till he does. Hey, God, you obey it before you see it. That's where it is. And we're scared to death to walk out on it. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. God help, I would love to know. I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah.
I'd love to have that kind of faith.
Oh, amen.
I'd love to have that kind of faith. You went through some of that faith when you was going through some of them times. And you said, I'm on the bar. Hey, that's the strongest you ever been when you was going through them times and you had to trust God or else. Amen. I mean, if God tells you to do something and the book tells you to do it and God tells you to do it and you don't see it, go ahead and do it.
Amen.
She went and made him a cake. Every time afterwards, she went in there and there's meal in the barrel. Now, I personally believe there was enough for that day.
Amen.
I believe it was enough for that day.
Amen.
I believe every time she went in there, it was enough for that day. You say, preacher, I'd be hard living. Well, it would be the... It would be an unbelief. It wouldn't believe when you see God doing it. And you say, well, he done it yesterday, he can do it today.
Amen.
Amen. What he done yesterday, he can do today.
Amen.
I mean, he took care of me yesterday. I can go back and get it again today.
Amen.
Thank God I ate cornbread yesterday. I can go back and get it today.
Amen.
Thank God the rest of these people around here starving. They don't have nothing to eat. And me and this preacher and my boy, I don't know if she had any more. It kind of looks like she might have had. I don't know. It does say her son, her and her house. Thank God. But I tell you one thing I know. Every day, God fed him and that went away with her boy. Amen. That's right. Every day, thank God. Amen. He didn't say, Lord, he was thankful to have something. God sustained him. He took care of me, provided for him. Every day had a handful of meal in the barrel. Thank God she did, and I can see in there. Thank God making that bread. Amen. That's right. Thank God that. Amen. They had some water to drink. I'm telling you, God takes care of His own. He'll never let us. He'll be forsaken. If they'll listen, obey Him. Thank God. Ain't no telling what God might do for you. You know the hardest living, faith. It's the best living, but it's hard for you to believe. I told God today reading this. I said, Lord God, I don't want to be in unbelief. I don't want no man to get me off the track I'm on. Right. I want God to take me further and believe in Him. You don't understand what I'm saying. When you give everything to God, everything's His anyway. You just lay it at the feet of God. Say, Lord, here it is. Everything I got. You know what? That'd delete you of worrying if you knew everything was in the hand of God. And you trusted Him like they did. And then over there, you know what I mean? The boy, he died. The Bible said there was no breath in him. Remember that? She said, I believe this man of God's called me. Remember my sin. Remember she said she thought he died because of her sin. I'll tell you why I believe he died. That God could prove who that man of God was. He took him up there and laid on him. And breathed on that boy. And that boy got his life back and sneezed. I think that's right. Or he awakened. And he gave that boy back to that woman. And she said this in the last verse. She said, that's a man of God. That man's a man of God. That's right. That's what she said. Now I know this man's a man of God. Why? She didn't say that then. She said it when that happened. When the most precious thing to her in life, that little boy. I don't know how old he was then, but I'll tell you what's the most precious thing to her, Brother Joe. And now this man of God had got that boy out of, thank God, out of death. Amen. Thank God. And God then said to him, he said, go show yourself, Ahab. He went out looking for him. And remember Obadiah? He was in the house of Ahab. He was a saint, man. He was a man that believed God. He hid them prophets 50 in caves and gave them bread and water during that time. He took care of them. And Obadiah said, you gonna cause me to die? Ahab will kill me if he knows I've met up with you. He said, you need to meet Ahab. Ahab's looking to you. Ain't God and Elijah got her friend and faced Ahab and said, you're the troublemaker. Amen. Yeah. Hey, that's right. And remember that great prayer meeting on Mount Carmel?
Oh, yes,
praise God, son. He said, get all them prophets of Baal. There's 450 prophets of Baal. He said, get them up here. He said, we'll let you call on your God first. They got up there cutting herself and blood going everywhere and they're jumping up and down on the altar and calling on their God. Ahab said, well, maybe you need to cry louder. Maybe he's in a journey somewhere. Maybe he's sleeping. They prayed. They weren't going to get no answer from a false God. Then he put three barrels of water around there, around the altar. He repaired it first. Water again. Three barrels of water around there. Prayed a 63-word prayer to the God of heaven. And God in the fire said, then the fire fell. Amen. And the fire, you know, the fire to fall. Thank God, friend. I believe Him. Thank God and pray in the power. God will fall if you believe Him. Amen. That's right, Elijah. Amen. Thank God. He said, and you know what all them people did? Them Israel wasn't saying nothing. A bunch of stinking compromisers. Till the fire fell. When the fire fell, they said, the Lord, He is the God.
Yeah.
They fell on their face, son. They said, the Lord, He is God. And all Elijah said, bring him false prophets up here. Thank God. He took a sword and cut their heads off. Amen. Amen. He killed them all, friend. That's right. Thank God. And then he told Ahab, he said, buddy, I'm going to tell you one thing. You better get back to Jezreel. It's going to rain. Amen. That's right. Thank God. He went up on that mount, son, put his face between his knees. Amen. Sent that servant out the seventh time. He come back. He said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Thank God it's about to rain. Amen. It's about to come down, friend. Thank God that came. Them clouds came. And rain came. Amen. You know why? The man of God said so. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. It got raining, buddy. And I tell you, amen. He believed God. He knew God done told him that. You go show yourself. It's going to rain. It started raining, buddy. Amen. That's right. And everything started growing again. And the next thing you know, Elijah's ready. Now I want to say something about this. I don't think he was scared of Jezebel as much as he was fearful of his life. You know what I mean? Which I know Jezebel was behind some of that stuff. But he ran, you know, and hid himself under the juniper tree and got in that cave. Remember that angel come and kicked him and said, "What you doing here?" Remember that? Amen. What you doing here? God's people. Old Brother Jeremy said that the other night when he's preaching. We don't have to run from the devil. He'll run you all over the place. Thank God, buddy. We got God.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. We got God. Why should we run from Him? Why should we run from the Ahabs of this world? Praise God. Jezebel. Amen. She's a devil, boy. I mean the devil. I know some Jezebels. I know a few of them anyway. You say, how you know them? They run their mouth all the time. Hate God. Amen. I met some of them. I pastored a few of them. You say, what you going to do? Praise God, we're going to preach. Yeah. Amen. Thank God it'll stop the mouth of somebody wanting to run it. Yeah. Amen. That's right, buddy. She said, I'll have him, I'll kill him. Son, I've read the record. Thank God the dog licked her blood and ate her flesh. Amen. Found her skull. Palms of her hand. Amen. That's right. That's right, ain't it? That's right. She painted her face, thought she was going to go out there and look real pretty. And Jehu said, throw her down. Cast her rear out that window, son. She fell down them dog down there. And they ate her, son. Them horses trod her. Them dogs ate her. Amen. That's right. So, y'all, is that the kind of God? Yes, the kind of God I serve.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. He is long-suffering us, Lord, praise God. But I'm telling you what, somebody said, is God like Eddie? He was then. Yeah, He's a God of wrath. He's a God of wrath. He'll judge people. Hey, God, friend, He judged Israel, and He'll judge. He said, all nations that forget God will be turned into hell. I don't think everybody ought to preach like me. I don't think that. But I think y'all, every man of God ought to preach.
Amen.
God help. I could imagine him taking the stand against Ahab and saying, now Ahab, if you want to. God help. Old Lester Roloff said a preacher ought to be able to get mad. I like that.
Yes, sir.
Mad at sin.
Amen.
Love people, but mad at sin.
Amen.
Do you know a preacher that loves his people will preach to his people? Because he loves them.
Amen.
That's right. And you know how you know I love you? I love you all the time.
Amen.
I love you all the time. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's all walks of life, friend. I preach like this up at the jail. Them guys love me. They'll say, hey, hug my neck. Hey, amen. I'm talking about people who've been on all kinds of crimes. I go up there and I preach against everything that God gives it to me. I just lay it out there.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Y'all men know it. Y'all do it too. You know what they'll do? Thank you, preacher. Ain't never none of them, thank God, come up and told me they wasn't, didn't like it. They might not have, but they wouldn't have said it. Amen. You know why? Because they respect the Word of God. Amen. We live in a day now where nobody wants to say anything about anything. Amen. Because we don't want to upset somebody.
Amen.
God help. Oh, Elijah, buddy, he was a good one. I won't give you this and I'm through. The Bible said he was a man of like passions as us. Listen to me. That meant that the same God that Elijah had is the same God you have.
Yes, sir.
And you know what it said? And he prayed that it might not rain upon the earth.
Amen.
Hear me. Hear me. He said, God, Jehovah, my God, I'm asking you to stop the heavens. And God said, Elijah, it's done. And for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. And then Elijah went to him again and said, God, my Father, Jehovah,
Lord, I'm asking you that it rains. And he said, Elijah, it's done. Here it comes. And he said, he's the same. And he said, he is a man of like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And he prayed again that it might rain. And we give these little old mealy mouth prayers. Lord, if it be your will, God, I hope. Lord, can you please help me? God, help. Where's getting hold of God? Where's just getting hold of God? And I mean, I'm not commanding God nothing. He's sovereign. He does as He wills. I want to get in line with what He wills. But I believe in praying with authority and believing God.
Amen.
You know what people say? Well, it must not be His will. Well, He's going to do His will whether you do it or not.
That's right.
That's right. God help. You want God to answer your prayers? He answers my prayers.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's right. I believe that. The only time He don't answer my prayers if I ain't in tune with Him. When I'm in tune with Him, son, he's as real. Brother Shank said something like that. I told him today when I was praying, I said, Lord, I can't wait to hug you. I thought, boy, think of all the people in heaven. I mean, everybody in heaven, man. 10,000 times, 1,000 times, 1,000. Ain't even a number on that. What's everybody going to do? Worship Him. Amen. That's right. I prayed to Him. God, I mean, I got specific prayers I pray. This is the honest truth. I ain't done this in a while. I prayed for some people in this church specific to do things and they done it.
Amen.
Amen. You know God can break through on you. Do you know what the Jews believe? They believe that, believing Jews, they believe that prayer could conquer anything. Anything. They believe that prayer could conquer anything. That's right. He's a man of like passions. Why wouldn't we not think that? You know why Jesus told that crowd when He went to Jairus' daughter? He said, get these people out. You know why? They didn't believe. He said, get them out of here. They was mocking Him and making fun of Him. They was professional mourners, but at the same time, He had to get them out of there. Listen to me. I'd rather, Brother Todd, if your wife needed prayer, I'm going to believe me and you to pray. If my wife needed prayer, I'd believe me and you to pray. I wouldn't want somebody to think, well, I hope God can do it. Praise God, friend. Elijah wasn't saying, well, I hope God will send rain. He said, Lord, send the rain. He said, okay. God help. So, lack of faith is what it is.
Yeah.
Lack of believing God.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. That's right. I'm like that old fella sometimes. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief.
Oh, yeah. Amen, brother.
Yes, everybody. Amen. That's right. Amen. I'll tell you what to do in a drought. Listen to Him. Go where He says. Do what He says. That's what you do. That's what He did. God sustained Him through the whole drought. That's right. I appreciate you hearing me tonight. Let's stand.